The sun rises over the San Joaquin Valley, California. Today is July 10th, 2020. In case you didn't notice, we did not have an episode last week. We were very busy here in our residency. We started a new rotation and a new academic year. We also welcomed a new group of PGY1s along with third-year medical students and sub-I's. We also said goodbye to our dear graduates, Greg Fernandez, Ronald Gavilan, Junior Martinez, and Steven Saito. Spread your wings. It's time to fly. Make the leap. Own the sky. Good luck in your careers. Those activities kept us busy. As if that wasn't enough, we saw an increased incidence of COVID-19 across the nation. In Clinica Sierra Vista, we went from 270 positive cases in May to 700 positive cases in June. We also increased the total tests performed from 1,200 in May to 2,800 in June. Our positivity rate increased from 21% to 25%. In the county of Kern, we've had 5,500 cases and 82 deaths. In California, the total of cases is 260,000, with total deaths of 6,500, which may have changed by the time you listen to this episode. Also, on a positive note, last weekend we celebrated Independence Day. We hope you had a happy 4th of July, and especially during these tumultuous times, may America continue to be the land of the free and the home of the brave.
Welcome to Rio Bravo Q Week, the podcast of the Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program, recorded weekly from Bakersfield, California, the land where growing is happening everywhere. The Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program trains residents and students to prevent illnesses and bring health and hope to our community. Our mission is to seek, teach, and serve. Sponsored by Clinica Sierra Vista, we are providing compassionate and affordable care to patients throughout Kern and Fresno counties since 1971. All of our dreams can come true if we have the courage to pursue them. Walt Disney.
Walt Disney definitely was a genius. And I like that quote a lot. When you want to reach a goal, dreaming is not enough. It requires more work than that. At some point, you have to start working to make that dream come true. You may need a little dose of faith and a big dose of action. What dreams do you have? What kind of doctor do you want to become in the future? Your training in residency is the time to prepare to live that dream in the future. Today, we have a resident who is working to reach his goals, and I'm very glad that he accepted my invitation to come this morning. It's 7:30 a.m., it's before clinic, and Dr. Sin is here with us. He's a diligent, trustworthy resident, and will participate today, actually not for the first time, for the second time in this podcast. And welcome, Dr. Sin, welcome to the podcast. So we're going to ask the first question is, who are you?
My name is Hassany, and I'm a second-year resident at Rio Bravo Family Medicine Residency Program. I was born and raised in Long Beach, California, to parents who immigrated from Cambodia. I went to Long Beach Polytechnic High School and continued my studies at UC Irvine, majoring in biological sciences. After that, I worked in quality assurance for a healthcare manufacturing company for a couple years before deciding to pursue a career in medicine. So then I enrolled in Ross University School of Medicine in Dominica, where I received my medical degree. As far as my, you know, in my off time, I'm a pretty simple guy. I love spending time with my girlfriend, my family, my friends. I love to go camping, especially in Mammoth, California. And I love watching and rooting for my Dodgers.
The Dodgers? Oh, okay. A Dodgers fan.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I have all the, you know, the Dodger fans t-shirt and caps and stuff. We go maybe once a year, but we do it for looks only. Okay. So, Dr. Sin, tell us what you learned this week.
So, this past week, I was in nephrology clinic for the first time, and I was working with Dr. Moreno, and he gave some little teaching points about different syndromes we may see as family physicians, and a couple of them being Bardet and Gittleman syndromes.
Which I've never heard of before, so I'm excited to learn today. Thank you, Dr. Sin, for bringing that information to us. So let's talk about syndromes then. Explain to us what Bartter syndrome is.
So Bartter syndrome is an autosomal recessive disorder. It's associated with metabolic abnormalities such as hypokalemia, metabolic alkalosis, hyperuremia, and hyperplasia of the juxtaglomerular apparatus, and hyperaldosteronism. There may be also associated hypomagnesemia. It is a fairly rare disease occurring 1 in 1 million. However, the similar but milder Gittleman syndrome is more common with a prevalence rate of 1 to 10 in 40,000.
So, in short, hypokalemia, metabolic alkalosis, and hyperaldosteronism. So, that's interesting. So, what else can you tell us about those syndromes?
Yeah. So, the primary defect in the Bowe syndrome is an impairment of the sodium chloride reabsorption in the loop of Henle and distal tubule. The impaired sodium chloride reabsorption leads to volume depletion and activation of the renin-angiotensin-aldosterone system. This increased distal flow of sodium enhances potassium and hydrogen secretion at the secretory sites in the connecting tubules and collecting tubules, which then leads to hypokalemia and metabolic alkalosis. Patients will generally come with a lower blood pressure than the normal general population in Bartter syndrome. However, in Gittleman syndrome, you might see a normal blood pressure. Bartter syndrome mimics a chronic ingestion of a loop diuretic, say like furosemide, while Gittleman syndrome mimics chronic ingestion of a thiazide diuretic.
Oh, that's a good way to describe it. I think it's easier to remember. You know, Bartter syndrome, loop diuretic, Gittleman syndrome, thiazide. Sure. So that's good. How does a patient with Bartter syndrome presents to you? What are some of the symptoms or signs?
So some of the clinical manifestations of Bartter syndrome, besides the metabolic abnormalities we already have mentioned, are growth and mental retardation, polyuria, and polydipsia. There are four types of Bartter syndrome. Types 1 and 2 are usually severe disorders that cause polyhydramnios during pregnancy and prematurity. They develop hypokalemia, metabolic alkalosis, polyuria, and hypocalciuria. And then nephrocalcinosis is also common, and poly contributes to the development of kidney dysfunction and sometimes end-stage renal disease.
So it sounds like the type 1 and 2 is not something that you're going to diagnose necessarily in the clinic. It's probably diagnosed in the hospital. So nephrocalcinosis, what is that?
So nephrocalcinosis is a deposition of calcium salts in the renal parenchyma. Nephrocalcinosis is related to, but not the same as kidney stones, so nephrolithiasis.
Okay. So you explained Bartter syndrome type 1 and 2. Is there any other types?
There's actually type 3. It's the classic form. It's less severe, presents later in life with metabolic abnormalities. Late manifestations of Bartter syndrome include proteinuria and a decline in GFR. Type 4 causes severe disease with antenatal presentation and congenital hearing loss.
So it sounds like a very serious disease, a very serious syndrome. So, and what can you tell us about Gittleman syndrome?
So Gittleman syndrome, the clinical manifestations are similar to Bartter, except for having a normal blood pressure. Patients may develop cramps of the arms and legs due to the metabolic abnormalities, as well as fatigue. Hypertension, strangely, may develop later in life. Bowe syndromes usually are a diagnosis of exclusion. You know, patients will probably present with unexplained hypokalemia, metabolic alkalosis, and normal to low blood pressure. So, surreptitious
vomiting. Surreptitious?
Surreptitious, there you go. Surreptitious vomiting and diuretic use must be ruled out because they could present in a similar way. Surreptitious vomiting is ruled out by measuring the urine chloride excretion. With Bartter and Gittleman syndrome showing a urine chloride concentration greater than 25 MEQs per liter, whereas vomiting would show urine chloride concentration of less than 25 MEQ per liter. But if you're suspecting someone of diuretic use, you'd probably rule it out with a urine diuretic screen. Plasmin, renin, and aldosterone levels will also be elevated in these conditions, these syndromes. However, these are not required for diagnoses.
So you basically analyze the urine to see if this is really happening. So chloride excretion, and also you do the measure the diuretic if you're suspecting the patient is taking diuretic.
Correct.
Okay, and how do you treat these syndromes though?
So treatment requires ad-lib, like sodium chloride intake and supplements of KCL and magnesium if they need it. Most patients will require a drug that blocks distal tubule sodium-potassium exchange, such as spironolactone.
So you're going to give salt to these patients, basically?
Basically, yeah.
Okay. Sodium chloride. That's another way to say common salt or table salt. Okay. So, Dr. Singh, why do you think this knowledge is important for you and your patients?
Well, I think it's important because as family physicians, we see this full spectrum of medicine. So if we see a low blood pressure in a pediatric patient with metabolic abnormalities, like, you know, similar to these two syndromes, I think an urgent nephrology referral should be placed.
Very good. So we have to be educated in uncommon conditions too, because sometimes we're going to face something weird, something rare, and this could be one of those cases. And how do you get this knowledge?
So initially, I got this knowledge from Dr. Moreno. I probably studied it in step one, but it came back to me during nephrology clinic. He did not have time to go through most of the details of each syndrome in clinic, so I decided to read a little more about it on UpToDate. And some of the details on UpToDate are very thorough, so I just cross-referenced it with the Pocket Pediatrics I also have.
Oh, okay. And so you basically answered that question. The question number five, where do you get that knowledge from?
Mostly it was it was all UpToDate, yeah. It was kind of a summarized version of what I found on UpToDate.
Okay. Well, it sounds interesting, Dr. Singh. I think we have learned something new today. I think it's important to remember this rare condition, Bader and Gitelman syndromes. So now you have it, guys. In case you see something like hypokalemia, hypotension, or hypertension in case of Gitelman, and do the workup and send them over if you are not sure about it. You know, we have Valley Children's and close by, and we have good nephrologists there. Anything else, Dr. Singh?
That was it. That was pretty fun.
Okay. Well, thank you, guys, and enjoy your week. See you later. Bye-bye.
Speaking Medical.
Hi, my name is Manpreet Kaur, and I'm a third-year medical student, and today I have a new episode of Speaking Medical. Nephronia. It may sound like the sister planet of Neptune, but what exactly is it, and when would you diagnose a patient with it? Well, on the spectrum of upper urinary tract infections, nephronia would fall at the midpoint between acute pyelonephritis and an interrenal abscess. It forms when a patient has an acute bacterial infection that results in a renal mass without liquefaction. We usually see this disorder in the pediatric population, but there are case reports of this presentation in adults as well. While it sounds rare, it may just be an underdiagnosed disorder. However, with advancements in non-invasive imaging, this diagnosis is being made at an increasing frequency. Acute lobar nephronia is similar to acute pyelonephritis. A few differences are that nephronia is associated with a longer clinical course, longer fever duration even with treatment, and higher inflammatory markers like CRP and white blood cell count. A CT is the most sensitive and accurate modality of making a diagnosis, but risks of exposure to radiation and possible sedation have to be weighed in small children. Some studies indicate that about 25% of children with nephronia can go on to develop abscesses and have a higher incidence of renal scarring. Once nephronia has been diagnosed, these patients will require a minimum of 2 weeks of IV antibiotics, followed with 1 week of oral antibiotics. They will show slow improvement with fevers sometimes persisting until the end of the first week of treatment. Now you know the medical word of the week, nephronia.
Hi, my name is Dr. Carranza with our section, Spanish, por favor. Today, the word of the week is orina. Orina is that yellowish colored liquid that comes out of the urethra with a characteristic smell, which in normal circumstances is sterile. Yes, you guessed it. Orina is urine in Spanish. Orina can be easily turned into a verb, like orinar. Just like in English, there are several terms to refer to urine. Pee, piss, pee-pee. Orina can also be called meados, which is a vulgar term. Orine, pees, peachy, and my favorite, pipí, normally used with pediatric patients. Now you know the Spanish word of this week, orina.
What do a puppy and a nearsighted OB-GYN have in common? a wet nose.
Now we conclude our episode number 19, Barger and Gittleman. Dr. Sin briefly shared the highlights of these rare syndromes. Hypokalemia and hypotension may have a long list of differential diagnoses, but keep Barger and Gittleman on your list. Ms. Kaur explained that nephronia is not a planet, but an intermediate state between pyelonephritis and renal abscess. And we could not leave the word urine out of this renal episode, so we learned the Spanish word orina. This is the end of Rio Bravo Q Week. We say goodbye from Bakersfield, a special place in the Central Valley of California, United States, a land where growing is happening everywhere. If you have any feedback about this podcast, please contact us by email at rbresidency@clinicasierravista.org or visit our website, riobravofmrp.org/QWeek. This podcast was created with educational purposes only. Please visit your primary care physician for additional medical advice. Our podcast team for this episode is Hector Ariaza, Hassani Sin, Mamprit Kaur, and Steven Saito. Audio by Saraj Amrutia. See you soon!